I remember the first time it happened to me. I was just a teenager and out playing with some of the kids in the block. And one of the kids looked at me and said, "Have you been born again?" What? "Have you been born again?" I don't remember that. And as I thought through the process and began to ask questions, I learned the answer. The answer was yes, I had. But strangely, because of the nature of the church in which I lived, it was terminology that was strange to me. We usually don't talk about that. At least 50 years ago, we didn't talk about it. I think it's much more common today. But still, when people come up and ask a good, solid Lutheran, "Have you been born again?" they kind of stand back and say, "What are you talking about?" And usually the question comes out of that process or that practice that many Christian churches use when they start to think of baptism as the coming of age in Christianity. It's at that point when I, as a young person, reach a particular point where I am able to say with a surety that I have decided to follow Jesus with my life. And then I am baptized into the family. But I was baptized when I was only 7 days old. And it's hard for me to think back to that particular period of time. I don't remember much of what happened, but I have the assurance that it did happen. My parents assured me, my witnesses or sponsors assured me, my Lord assured me. But it's that confusion, I think, that was getting to Nicodemus that day when he decided, or that night, when he decided to seek out this Jesus, this new teacher on the block. Because you see, Nicodemus was a teacher. He was one of the Pharisees who taught the Jewish people what the law of God stated. He was also a high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin, that group of 70 who ruled Israel. Because of that, he didn't particularly want people to know that he was coming to ask questions of this Jesus, because the council had already decided that this Jesus was a troublemaker and he was going to give them great grief. And so in the darkness, he comes to Jesus and he asks those pertinent questions, those questions that are so important even today. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." You see, that's where Nicodemus' problem came from. His background, his understanding of Scripture, his total catechetical instruction had been based on the Old Testament law. And this idea that he comes to Jesus with is so revolutionary, so different, that he had to have an explanation. He couldn't deny Jesus' Godhead because he says, "No one could do the things you are doing unless God were empowering him." But you notice, Jesus doesn't sort of sit back and bask in the glow of Nicodemus' compliment. He just forgets all about it. He knows that Nicodemus is really lost and questioning. And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Boy, you talk about a loop. Nicodemus was running in circles trying to chase that one down. How do you figure this out? Born again? I know the words, I know what they mean, but it just doesn't make sense. He was already an old man, and thinking of the process of shrinking back down to infancy and re-entering the birth canal was totally out of mind. But that's what it sounded like. And so Jesus goes on. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And a verse later says, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Water? Spirit? What are you talking about? You see, Nicodemus' background was something so totally different. He couldn't comprehend what was taking place right before his very eyes. He couldn't understand the words that Jesus was putting on his mind and heart, being born again. The Jews practiced baptism, but it wasn't the kind of baptism we know. It wasn't that one instituted by Christ. It was a baptism that indicated repentance and new dedication to God. But there's something different about the baptism Christ is talking about, because it involves that person of the Trinity that we really celebrate last Sunday, Pentecost, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And you know that even today, with all of our sophisticated education, with all of our electronic equipment, we still find it hard to understand how is it possible for water and those simple words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to accomplish all that God says it does? How is it possible that God could work in us that which we cannot work in ourselves? And as we start to plummet the depths of that conversation, we come to the rock solid bottom where it says, because He's God. Because He is the creator of the universe. Because He's the Savior of all humankind. Because He poured out His Holy Spirit on us on that first Pentecost, and continues to pour out His Spirit on us through the means of grace that He uses in the church today. Baptism, the Word, and the Lord's Supper. That's how God comes to us. That's how God empowers us. That's how God changes us. That's how God brings us the gifts that He does. This was a revolutionary idea. John caught it early in his gospel as he shared with the people of his day, as he recognized and received Jesus Christ coming into his world. I'm trying to find a passage here. John, in John 1, 12 and 13, says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. I have baptized many children and adults in my ministry. And I always consider it one of the greatest privileges God gives us as human beings. But you know what? I've looked down into the face of a crying baby on his baptism day and could not see any change because he continued to cry throughout the baptism. There was no light that went on. No halo appeared. There was no change physically that I could detect to indicate that suddenly God's Spirit had entered that child to change him. But I know from the experience of years looking back that God does it in spite of our inability to know how it happens. With this electronic world that we live in, we have developed that institution that we call the computer age. And you know, it continues to astound me that we're able to do the things we do on a computer. But nothing is more frustrating for me as a computer dunderhead to sit down at my computer and try to figure out how it's doing what it's doing. I just don't understand. And when my computer malfunctions, I have to sit there and try to figure it out. And while with God it's impossible to figure Him out, somehow, some way, with a computer, with all of the geeks that we have in our world, we will be able to trace down the problem and correct it. But it's so different with a child of God. You see, when you were baptized, God changed you. Now, you may look back and say, well, I was baptized as a small baby. Okay, and I don't detect any change. Oh, you don't? Go back and think about it. If you had not been baptized, if you had not been brought into the family of Christ, would there have been a difference? Well, yeah, I suppose there would. And we see after it has happened how God's blessings come to us. But for you and I today to deal with that question of being born again, we sometimes wonder, is there something else I've got to do? Is there some other hoop that I've got to jump through? Is there some other way that God can get His Spirit into me? And I'll have to be the first to say, yeah, God's Holy Spirit can get into us sometimes in the weirdest ways. But He can. He works mediately through means of grace, the Word and sacraments. But He can also work immediately, as He has done in the lives of many people who have suddenly come to that point in their life where through the power and testimony of other Christians, they have listened to that Word and said, you know, they've got something. And as God's Holy Spirit continues to turn and change them, they begin to understand what God has to say. Paul, writing to his close friend Titus, you know, that young man who was part of the ministry in his day, says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, when that took place, when God's Holy Spirit came into our heart and life, it wasn't a one-dose affair. It's more like the day-to-day thing that goes on in our life, where God continues to touch us. He has things happen in our life that we can't begin to comprehend or understand. Tragedies, like the one in Houston this past week. Tragedies take place, and we sit here trying to comprehend, how could God allow that to happen? Is this some sort of a punishment for what David and Jennifer, or what Jennifer's brother and family did? Is this some sort of punishment for the person who was driving the car? And the answer is no. No, it's not. And we will never, perhaps, be this side of the grave, be able to understand why it happened. But we know it happened, and that God's purpose will be accomplished through the tragedy, even though we can't comprehend it. And we may die before it becomes obvious to us. But you see, that's how God works. He works by pouring out His Holy Spirit into our hearts, so that as we grow in faith, we realize we don't have to understand all of the ins and outs of God's working in our world today, but by faith are able to accept it as His will, as the way He works in us, and that through it, we will be blessed. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, Paul writing to the Corinthians, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Have you ever had that experience? Try to explain something spiritual to someone who is not spiritual, and it's like talking to a blank wall. Nothing really penetrates until God's Holy Spirit comes there. And you never realize what your discussion with that person might do, because through the power of God's Holy Spirit, seeds are planted. And even in good old Tucson, Arizona, you can see seeds doing things that blow your mind, cracking an 8-inch piece of concrete as it breaks up through it, going through 4 inches of gravel to come up as a tiny weed that you thought you had never seen, even though you put the screen down below to protect it. Yes, those seeds do take place. They are planted in our hearts, and God's Holy Spirit does use those in order to grow our faith. So God speaks to us today so that it's not just being able to answer those that ask us the question, are you born again? But to remind us that there is a responsibility that comes with being reborn. There is a responsibility of walking in the way that Jesus Christ would have us walk. Living in the way that He wants us to live. Behaving in the way that would bring honor and glory to Him. So as He gives us His Holy Spirit, He also empowers us to be the kind of witnesses He wants in our world. You can imagine what it was like on that day of ascension as He said to His disciples, you will be my witnesses. Who? Us? What are we supposed to do in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? The ends of the earth? For many of them, that wasn't more than about 15, 20 miles away. To the ends of the earth? And that same thing comes to us today. You and I, in this beautiful community of Vail, are asked by God to be His witnesses to the world in which we live, knowing that there are many, many, many people out there who don't know Jesus Christ and who don't particularly want to know. But by the empowered example of God's Spirit in us, they begin to sense that there is more to life than what the world has to offer. And you've got it. It's that power that Jesus wants to go out into the world. It's that power that comes to us through the gift of water in baptism. It's that power that comes to us with the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's that power that comes to us through His very word, the power to shake the foundations of every life on this earth. Your task as God's children is to live the born-again life that God has called you to. And in order to accomplish that, He didn't set you out there all by yourself. He said, I will be with you always. The purpose for that reminder, that promise, is to show us that it doesn't really depend on us. In St. Louis this past week, there were probably 75 to 80 pastors on campus. We were celebrating anniversaries, five-year anniversaries. So those who graduated in 04 or 09 or back further and further, we were there to thank God for that gift of ministry that He had given us. I was particularly pleased to be there because I was celebrating my 50th. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing. And as I inflated my ego a little bit, the first person I met said, graduated in 39. I thought, 39, let's see, that's 70 years ago? And I thought 50 was a long time. I was at my 10th anniversary, and I remember looking out at that crowd of those who are completing 50 years of ministry and thinking, oh my goodness, do they look old? But the marvel and the wonder of this was to listen to these men talk and share, to listen to their wives open and tell us about the life of ministry that God had given to them, and to realize that within my class alone, there were more than 2,000 years of accumulated experience. That's a lot. But rather than being puffed up and thumbing our suspenders, rather than being bloated about what God has permitted us to do, we realized in all humility that God had used us. And that's where you are, my friends, because you don't have to be a pastor. In fact, you're probably better off not being a pastor to be the witness that you are. So let the love of Christ continue to grow in you and carry that gospel out into the world. And the next time someone asks you, have you been born again? Answer immediately and proudly, yes, by God's grace, I have been born again. Because there is nothing to be ashamed of. You truly are God's child. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.